If you have just tuned in, you are now listening to Worth Baptist Hour, a weekly broadcast of the gospel. This radio ministry is produced by Worth Baptist Church, and this is the pastor speaking. What a joy it is today for us to greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the joy of Worth Baptist Church to bring to you the good tidings of the gospel of redeeming grace. The month of March was the greatest month in the history of Worth Baptist Church. My, how we are rejoicing in the good things God has done for us thus far in 1973. The month of April got off to a wonderful start last Sunday, with again more than 400 in our Sunday school. April is designated as Preparation Month here at Worth Baptist Church. We are preparing for our great revival that will begin on Sunday, April the 29th, and will continue through Sunday, May the 6th. Our evangelist is Dr. B. R. Lakin. Dr. Lakin is known around the world for his preaching of the gospel of Christ. And so I hope that you'll mark those days on your calendar and plan to be with us during the revival services here at Worth Baptist Church. The dates again are April the 29th through May the 6th, Spring Revival at Worth Baptist Church with Dr. B.R. Lakin. We invite you today to come and enjoy our Sunday school with us at 10 o'clock. We have a class for every member of your family, for every age and every grade level. The Sunday School of Worth Baptist Church has but one textbook, and that is the Bible, the Word of God. We are currently in a new series of studies on the great men of the Bible. Our lesson today will be Noah, the Ark Builder. I trust that you'll come and bring the whole family for Sunday School at 10 o'clock here at Worth Baptist Church. Our Sunday morning worship hour begins at 11 and our Sunday evening worship hour at 7. It would be our joy to have you and the family to come and visit with us at Worth Baptist Church today. And we would like to hear from you by mail this week. Our mailing address is Worth Baptist Hour, Post Office Box 15141, Fort Worth, Texas. And now to my message on today's broadcast entitled, The Bible and You. I shall read from Psalm chapter 8, verses 3 and 4, after we pause in a moment of prayer. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we truly thank Thee today for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee for the opportunity to voice the gospel of redeeming grace once again by radio today. We would pray that the Holy Spirit would take the message and bless every heart. For those who are unsaved, we pray that they might come to know Christ. For those who are discouraged and despondent, for those who are in the depths of despair, we pray that the message today by the Holy Spirit would thrill their hearts. For those who are sick in the hospitals, or in their homes, or in the rest homes, or wherever they might be, for those who travel upon our highways, for those in the distant points of this radio audience, for those very close by, wherever they might be, whatever their problems or difficulties are, we would ask that the Holy Spirit would bless them in this hour. This is our prayer and these are our petitions, and we ask them all in Jesus' name and for His sake and with thanksgiving. Amen. And now Psalm 8, verse 3. When I consider Thy heavens, the work of Thy fingers, the moon and the stars which Thou hast ordained, what is man that Thou art mindful of him? The Bible and you. What is man that God is mindful of him? You may be thinking today, who am I that God would be mindful of me? You are in the mind of God at all times. The same God who presides over the destiny of nations cares for you. God is just as much concerned about the conflicts in your soul as He's concerned about the conflict in the Middle East, or in Vietnam, or Cambodia, or Northern Ireland, or anywhere else in all the troubled spots of the world. Did you know that you are written up in the Bible? The Bible records your past, your present, and your future. The Bible speaks of your birth, your life, and your death. When the Bible speaks of creation, it speaks of your creation. When the Bible speaks of life, it speaks of your life. When the Bible speaks of death, it speaks of your death. The Bible is a remarkable book. While you are reading the Bible reads you. While you are examining the Bible examines you. The Bible knows your thoughts, your motives, your desires, your plans, and the intents of your heart. The Bible knows who you are and where you came from. The Bible knows where you are and how you got here. The Bible knows where you are going and how you will get there. The Bible and you. The Bible depicts your life. It describes your heart. It divulges your motives. It discerns your thoughts. It defines your mission. It dissolves your doubts. It destroys your fears. It declares your worth. And finally, the Bible designates your destiny. By the way, who said you were worth only 98 cents in chemical compound? Did you know that each pound of your body has an energy potential of 11,400,000 kilowatts of atomic energy? And did you know that atomic energy is worth $570 million a pound? This means that if you weigh 150 pounds, you are worth $85 billion. No wonder God wants you to live like a king. One day, you'll be one. The Bible and you. I'm speaking personally, individually, to you. God is speaking to you in His Word. God speaks to you through His messenger. God speaks to you by the Holy Spirit. Your life is in two segments, today and eternity. Today is spent in preparation. Where you spend eternity depends on how you prepare today. The gospel of God is written in the book of God, but you too are writing a gospel in one sense of the word. The gospel according to you. The gospel according to you is read both far and wide. There are some things in life you simply cannot hide. The gospel according to you has words and deeds galore, and like the rubbish of the ocean, they wash upon the shore. The gospel according to you must never, never be a lie, for the truth will be revealed before you come down to die. You have several relationships. You have a relationship with yourself, with your family, with your friends, with your enemies, and with God. The proper relationship with yourself depends on quieting your internal conflicts. The proper relationship with your family depends on controlling your external conflicts. The proper relationship with your friends depends on adjusting your social behavior. The proper relationship with your enemies depends on incorporating Christian principles. The proper relationship with God depends on one thing. It depends on your accepting His Son as your Savior. Let me underscore your relationship to God. Your relationship to God does not depend on your thinking or on your feeling. It depends on your believing. The Bible says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Not only do you have several relationships, but you have several portraits of your life. First, there's the self-portrait. This is how you see yourself. Then there's your friend's portrait. This is how your friends see you. Then there's God's portrait. This is how God sees you. You see yourself on the inside. Your friends see you on the outside. God sees you on both sides. You will get out of life precisely what you put into it. Your return in life will depend upon your investment. Listen to the words of this poem. "I bargained with life for a penny, and life would pay no more. However, I begged that evening when I counted my scanty store. For life is a just employer. He gives you what you ask, but once you've set the wage, you must bear the task. Your life is what you make it. Do you want to know how you can solve life's riddle? You can do it by applying God's wisdom. Would you like to know how you can overcome the world? You can overcome the world by believing God's word. Would you like to know how you can become prosperous in life? You can become prosperous by seeking first God's kingdom. You want to know how you can conquer your fears? You can conquer your fears by embracing God's love. You can endure life's hardship by receiving God's grace. Would you like to know how you can accomplish your mission in life? You can accomplish your mission in life by utilizing God's strength. Would you like to know how you can abide forever? You can abide forever by doing God's will. Would you like to know how you can be saved from sin? There is but one way for you to be saved from sin, and that is by accepting God's Son, Jesus Christ, as your Savior. What is your life anyhow? Your life is a race. Run it well. Your life is a journey. Travel with care. Your life is a book. Write every chapter as though it might be the last. Your life is a poem. You should make every stanza rhyme. Your life is a story. Tell it like it is. Your life is a battle. Put on the whole armor of God. Your life is a grindstone. And whether your life grinds you down or polishes you up depends upon the stuff that you're made of. You and your life, the Bible and you. The purpose of your life must be based on God's will. The philosophy of your life must be found in God's word. The power of your life must be furnished by God's Spirit. You see, apart from God and outside the framework of the Word of God, there is nothing but fear and frustration and complication and chaos for your life. No man ever lived the fullest extent in life who did not have Jesus Christ in his heart. If you are a Christian, your life belongs to God. You are alive to a new life. As a Christian, you should live like it. You should look like it. You should speak like it. You should walk like it. You should think like it. And you should act like it. A Christian must dare to be different. You see, to be a Christian means to be Christ-like. You are a Christ one if you are a Christian. Now, this does not mean that you are perfect. There is no such thing in this world today as sinless perfection. While you are not perfect, you are on the road to perfection. Suppose you were driving from Dallas to Miami. You get in the car, you get on the road that leads to Miami, Florida. Now, this doesn't mean that you're already in Miami, but it does mean that you're on the road to Miami and you've left Dallas behind. Well, the man who is going from earth to glory gets on the gospel road. He gets on the Calvary way. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me." So when you begin your glory run, when you're saved, when you're on your way to heaven, you're not there yet, but you've left the world behind, you're on the way to heaven, and you're reaching for that ultimate to be forever with the Lord. The moment a person is saved, he steps into a new world. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ Jesus. Now notice it doesn't say if any man be in the church, or if any man be in a new way, if any man be in religion. No, it doesn't say that. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and all things are become new. Let me ask you, have you had that experience? Have you passed from death unto life? Have you had that experience we call the new birth? Do you know what it means to be in the Lord Jesus? There is but one way that you can have that experience. And that is for you to be convicted by the Word of God. The Bible declares faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If you hear the Word of God and you're convicted of your sin by the Holy Spirit, then your next step is to simply open the door of your heart receive the Lord Jesus Christ in your life as your Savior. Now, because you are a Christian, your salvation is forever settled. You have salvation in your heart. And if you are saved, your soul is just as much saved as it ever shall be. You have security in this world. You have a home in the world above. Remember, Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." You have a home in heaven as a born-again believer, as a child of God. Because you are a Christian, you have been delivered from eternal death. You have been delivered from eternal separation. You have been delivered from eternal judgment. You have been delivered from eternal perdition. As a Christian, you are free. You are free from the law of sin and death. Paul says, "The law of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death." Not only so, but you are free from the power of sin. Paul says, "Let sin no longer reign in your body. Let sin no longer have dominion over you." If you are a Christian, if you have been born again, if you have been saved, you are free from the power of sin. You are free from the penalty of sin. What is the penalty of sin? The Bible says, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." The Bible says, "The wages of sin is death." But it doesn't stop there. The Bible says, "The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." So, you are free from the penalty of sin. And praise God, one day you will be free from the presence of sin. My, what an anticipation. What a joy to think that one day, when Christ comes, He will take us to be with Himself, and we shall be forever free from sin. If you are unsaved, if you've never experienced the new birth, if you've never been born again, if you have never received Christ into your heart and into your life, if you've never trusted Him as your own personal Savior, then you are blind. You are undone. You are helpless and hopeless apart from Christ. Without Christ, you are nothing. The Bible declares that apart from Him, away from Him, that your life is a minus, your life is a zero, your life is nothing. You have no hope in this life nor in the life to come outside the Lord Jesus Christ. If you are unsaved, you are dead in trespasses and sin. You are destined to spend eternity without Christ. You are bound for the regions of the damned in the lake of fire, which burneth forever and ever. If you are not saved, you are condemned to judgment and consigned to eternal death. The Bible declares, "Lust, when it is conceived, bringeth forth death, bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." But wait, God loves you. Yes, I said God loves you. Jesus Christ died for you. You don't have to be lost forever. You don't have to die in your sins. You don't have to face the judgment bar of God. You can change all of that right now while you're listening to this broadcast. You can confess Jesus Christ as your Savior. You can put your faith in Him. You can be saved by receiving Christ into your heart this moment. Now, there are only two people who know your life really like it is: you and God. If you and God are satisfied with your life, there's nothing to do. But if God is not satisfied, do something. If you are not satisfied, you do something about it now. And the Bible says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." I trust even this moment you will open the door of your heart and receive Christ in right now. And until next Lord's Day at this same time, we wish you well and the blessings of God upon your home, upon your family, and upon your life. And as always, we admonish you to keep on praying.